We just celebrated the Transfiguration of our Lord, which was this past Thursday, August 6th, 19, on Joe's Garage calendar. And it is known as the Summer Pascha. And I wanted to tell you a few things about it. First, let's summarize the story very quickly. Just before the Transfiguration occurred, our Lord said, "Verily I say to you that there are some be standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom." The Transfiguration is actually the fulfillment of His prophecy, because the Transfiguration shows the Son of Man, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the God-man, as He truly is in His kingdom. When He was transfigured on the Mount, He showed the disciples who He really was, what He really looked like. So that's the fulfillment of the prophecy. It was just before His Passion, and He went up on Mount Tabor with three disciples, Peter, James, and John. He was transfigured such that uncreated light streamed forth from Him. There was not light streaming on Him like a spotlight, but He was the source of the light, which was the purest, the whitest light that you could have. Not like any natural light source, because it is the uncreated light of God. And with Him were Moses and Elias. They were speaking to Him about His upcoming passion. And the apostles were confused and fell down on their faces. And they heard Moses and Elias speaking. And then they saw a cloud and a voice that said, "This is My beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And then they went down from the mountain, and Jesus had told them not to tell anyone about this occurrence. And so they did not until after the resurrection. What does this teach us about Jesus Christ? He's God and man. He shone forth with uncreated light. As I said, the light didn't shine on Him. He was the source and is the source of the light. This is the uncreated light of God, which is the energies of God, which we know that we can partake in. We can be part of them by our struggle in the Christian life and our eventual purification, so that we can be in this light and be glad. Also, this manifestation of Jesus as He is a rounding rebuke of Arianism, an ancient church heresy, which believed that Jesus Christ was created. No, He was not created. And this shows that He is God, that He shone forth with the uncreated primeval light of God. What does this teach us about ourselves? Well, look at the reaction of the disciples. You can see on the icon in front of us, in the middle of the church. What did they do? They fell down. St. Luke says they were heavy with sleep. Peter started talking about building tabernacles, and one of the evangelists says not knowing what he was talking about. Because when we're in the presence of God, if we're not purified, we're not ready for it. So the disciples were not ready for this. Jesus Christ gave them this indication of who He really was to show what we can become. But they were not ready at the time that it occurred. Why did it occur when it did? It occurred just before His Passion. Why? Well, actually, the church services tell us why. And the Kontakion tells us, and the Kontakion's on the bottom of the paper that I handed out to you, or had handed out to you. It says, "On the mountain was thou transfigured, and thy disciples beheld thy glory as far as they could bear it, so that when they would see thee crucified, they would comprehend that thy suffering was voluntary, and proclaim to the world that thou art of a truth the effulgence of the Father." This was to strengthen them. They were about to come upon very hard times. The one that they thought was the Messiah was going to be taken by the Roman guard and tortured and put to death. And they'd see Him die on the cross. And then they would see Him be buried. And their hopes would die with Him being buried. But even though their faith was shaken, they were able to endure because of His preparing them. I think this is a good life lesson, actually. Because obviously our Lord appearing transfigured on the mountain did not cause the disciples to be full of all kinds of courage when it was time for His passion. They all ran away. Their faith was shaken. And if you see on the road to Emmaus, the accounts of the Apostle Luke, they're even saying, we thought that He might be the consolation of Israel. But they weren't so sure anymore. So faith is not something that is... it's only pristine in the history books. It's only pristine in the hagiographies. Faith is something which is attained little by little by struggle. By going up and down. And as long as every time you go down, you go back up, you will have faith. So why were Moses and Elias present? Well, they represent the prophets and the law. And also, Moses and Elias were the only ones to see these manifestations of Jesus Christ that we hear of in the Old Testament readings. Where Moses saw the back parts of God on Mount Sinai. That was Jesus Christ. And Elias, when he was in the cave, heard the still small voice. And that was the voice of Jesus Christ. Another question I had for you to answer was, what event in our Lord's life is very much like this transfiguration? That's the baptism of the Lord. Because they're both theophanies, which is the appearance of God to man. Jesus Christ being present on the mountain transfigured with the light of God. And then the cloud being the Holy Spirit, and the voice from the cloud being God the Father. So it's very reminiscent of theophany. I already told you a little bit about the Old Testament scripture for the feast. And then a little teaser at the end. The most important take-home message scripture for the feast. Well, this feast, the festal scriptures consisted of three Old Testament readings on Vespers, and then a gospel reading about the transfiguration in Matins, and then an epistle and a gospel for the liturgy the next day. And in that epistle, it is from Peter, his second epistle. And he says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, which we made known when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty." He's referring to the transfiguration. "For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came a voice to Him from the excellent glory, 'This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.'" And also in that same epistle, he says, although it's not in the services of the day, in the scripture of the day, it's all over the services of the day in the hymns, "Whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be made partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." The message of transfiguration, of the transfiguration of our Lord, is that we can be partakers of the divine nature. The Lord showed His nature to us on the Mount of Tabor, when He shone forth with the uncreated light which He possesses, and which He also bestows upon us when we are worthy for it. Christianity is becoming ready so that we can become partakers of divine nature. You might know it by another word, theosis. To become holy so that we could be in the presence of holiness. So transfiguration shows us this holiness and promises us that we can attain it. Now you see how the disciples were when they saw Him the first time on the mount. They were afraid. They were confused. They were sleepy. Later on, Peter would speak of it very clearly. He wasn't so clear at the time it occurred. The clarity occurred in Peter's life when he lived the Christian life, followed the commandments, loved his Savior, eventually dying for his Savior, and becoming purified so that he would know God. This is our purpose too, brothers and sisters. It's not just for the Apostle Peter. It is for us.